Get Abstract keeps you updated with summaries of the best business books published worldwide. Books you absolutely need to know in a convenient, smart format.
"Why didn't I think of that?" is a common reaction to other people's creative breakthroughs. In hindsight, the idea looks so simple, so elegant, so right that you can't believe you missed it. But for some reason, you did. Why? Can this sort of creativity be taught? In The Opposable Mind, published by Harvard Business Press, professor of strategic management Roger Martin answers both questions. The good news is it can be taught, and Martin is a wonderful teacher. Get Abstract thinks his ideas are so clear and logical, so obviously right, that you'll wonder why you didn't think of them.
F. Scott Fitzgerald said, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time. Thinkers, like those Fitzgerald describes, can effortlessly combine the alternatives presented and look beyond them. This skill, which is called integrative thinking, is the hallmark of creativity. In fact, many of today's most innovative CEOs solve some of their knottiest problems this way."
Integrative thinking doesn't come naturally to many people, but you can learn how to use it if you learn to think about your thinking.
How do you think? If you're like most people, you limit or define a problem by selecting its salient features. Then you try to make sense of those features by looking at the causal relationships connecting them. Then you create an architecture for solving the problem. You figure out which part to work on first, second, and so on. Then you consider the resolution of the problem or your goal and determine how you'll know if you've gotten there or not.
This way of solving problems is common to both conventional and integrative thinkers. But when conventionals consider a problem's salient features, they oversimplify, ignoring too many of its aspects. For example, when they consider causality, they look for linear cause-effect relationships. When they build the architecture of the problem, they move in sequenced steps. When they ponder a resolution, they quickly trade off among limited options. Given a choice between, say, increasing prices or cutting quality, conventionals choose the option that seems least negative.
Integrative thinkers do things differently at every step. They architect the problem as a whole and thus see how parts of it interrelate. They don't accept trade-offs too quickly. Instead, they look for new alternatives, previously discarded ones, or new combinations. For instance, faced with the same choice between increasing prices or cutting quality, they might increase both quality and prices and then position their product as a premium offering.
Integrative thinking can pay huge dividends, yet the world conspires to turn integrative thinkers into conventionals. Why? Because conventional thinking is simplistic, and many times simplicity is good. In fact, it's necessary. As you read this, you are processing some 10 million nerve signals at any given moment. Think about all the information in your environment. Without simplification, you couldn't function. But it can go too far. "Everything should be as simple as possible," said Einstein, "but no simpler."
Specialization is related to simplification, and its goal is the same: to make complex problems tractable and efficiently solvable. Yet specialization can create problems and frustrate integrative thinking. Specialists focus narrowly on the parts of a problem they're expert at solving. Many times they fail to learn new skills and are unprepared when their old skills aren't needed to address new problems.
Integrative thinkers understand that any particular person's take on the world results from many factors. They know that many questions have no right answers. It's a little like two people arguing about whether classical physics or particle physics is a more correct picture of the world. Hearing this tedious argument, the integrative thinker is more likely to conclude that both can be right, depending on the problem and perspective.
Your take on the world is as unique as your fingerprint, a product of many influences, including temperament, upbringing, and circumstances. Notwithstanding this variety, integrative thinkers approach problems with tremendous unity. They generally hold a few core beliefs, some of which concern the world and some of which concern the self. Integrative thinkers are comfortable with models. In fact, they seek evidence that their models are wrong because they're optimistic that better models are waiting to be found. This optimism extends to the self. Integrative thinkers become expert reverse engineers, taking their models apart and dismantling other people's models as well. To reverse engineer your thinking, work with the connections among thinking, action, and outcome. Then note which actions led to the outcome. The hardest step is figuring out what sort of thinking led to those actions. Consider your assumptions, the data you used, and the data you ignored.
Let's investigate the three tools that all integrative thinkers must master: abductive reasoning, causal modeling, and assertive inquiry. Abduction generates plausible connections among whatever elements of data you have. Use abductive reasoning to generate hypotheses about problems. For instance, suppose your company lacks innovative experience, and you neither have the data nor a model for innovation. Hence, you have to make a logical leap and generate some models. How do you pick among them? By trying things. Generate, test, repeat. Just like science.
The second tool, causal modeling, is more like a toolbox, since there are many kinds of causality. Consider them all. The simplest is material causation, as when you lower your prices by 10% and your market share increases. Material causation has variations, such as reverse causation. Does smoking cause depression, or do depressed people smoke? And looping causation, as when investors buy a stock, its price rises, and they buy more but fear that it will get too expensive.
The third tool is assertive inquiry, which allows integrative thinkers to explore and understand other people's models instead of poking holes in them. Work backward from what people say to what they must be thinking. Do the same for yourself. Look for the principles behind positions. To learn assertive inquiry, recall a heated exchange with someone else. Analyze your dialogues and benchmark your efforts to understand rather than advocate. The more you understand a problem, the greater the likelihood that you will reach a creative solution.
How do you develop an opposable mind? Beyond mastering your area of expertise, you must be original, spontaneous, flexible, and open-minded. Don't get stuck in old thinking patterns. Experiment and see the big picture. This is where integrative thinkers excel. With practice and experience, you can integrate mastery with originality and develop your opposable mind.
Thank you for listening to Get Abstract Book Summaries. To learn more about this topic, simply enter the keywords integrative thinking on getabstract.com.